energy in the arena tonight was unbelievable. It was crazy. And it feels good. You know, we're happy that we're able to do things here in Milwaukee. We're happy that we are going to the third round, and we're happy that, you know, the people are into it. I don't think I've ever seen people in Milwaukee be so excited about basketball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Bucks Podcast. My name is KJ Eichstead. I'll be your host, and the Milwaukee Bucks have dropped Game 1 to the Atlanta Hawks, 113-116 in Milwaukee. I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Eichstead. I think a lot of people are surprised. Alex, what do you think about the first result?
Am I surprised that the Bucks underestimated Atlanta? No, I'm really not, because they were open to that as a vulnerability, and Atlanta took advantage. I think the thing I am surprised about is how poorly the Bucks defended the pick and roll, as well as just how the Bucks let Atlanta steal the game in the closing minutes. I'm excited to dive into all of that. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Thanks for joining us, Bucks fans. You know, we're seeing the numbers go crazy all over the place. Bucks fans all around the world. We actually got some new countries in Africa tuning in, so that's really exciting. But really, last night, if you look at the Bucks, Giannis, you know, 34 points, 14 of 25, 0 for 2 from 3, 6 for 8 from the line. I mean, in a vacuum, he did what he needed to do. But really, the one thing he didn't come away with, if we're putting that stat on Ike Bucks, is that W. You know, he didn't come away with the win number. And as the alpha, you know, as the de facto leader on this team, as we've talked so much about in previous weeks, you know, Trae Young did what he needed to do to get the W. I mean, you look at the other guys on the Bucks. Jrue Holiday had probably his best game in recent memory, 14 to 25, 5 for 12 from 3, 10 assists, 33 boards. But he let Trae Young eat him up, and it's like, you know, Coach Bud didn't even do anything to really help him too much. You know, there weren't really any adjustments. Jrue Holiday, you could say maybe he did enough to win. But really, the Hawks came out on our home court and stole a win. P.J. Tucker, 4 points, 7 rebounds. It's kind of all you can ask from him. Chris Middleton had an awful game. I mean, he won't be playing that bad the rest of the series. I can almost guarantee it, which bodes well for the Bucks. Brooke Lopez had another, I would range to say, awful game. You know, 3 for 7 total field goals, 1 for 4 from 3, 7 measly points, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals. Bobby Portis came back. That was a bright spot. Jeff Teague saw the floor. That was not a bright spot. Pat had a heavy dose of minutes. Unfortunately, he couldn't get it done in that final shot. And Bryn Forbes kind of made his return. So a little bit of a new rotation. But the key thing is, Alex, is that we dropped game one at home versus an inferior Atlanta Hawks team. And I'm just going to put this into perspective for our listeners before kicking it back to you. Trae Young has been in the NBA for 3 years. 3 years. And when he was, before he was in the NBA, he was a one-and-done freshman at Oklahoma who frankly, that program didn't have a great season. You know, Trae Young put up big numbers at Oklahoma. But in the same season, Trae Young was putting up, you know, he was playing in college. Giannis Antetokounmpo was an all-star starter, averaging 26.9 points and 10 rebounds a game in his fifth NBA season. And it's like, man, we love Giannis, but come on, Bucks. You know, like, we should be annihilating this team. Alex, just any thoughts on what you just heard?
Well, Shaq said the same thing. The Bucks should have blew him out, and it was just pathetic and disappointing that they didn't. Here's something that I'm really upset about: the rebounding. The Bucks are the best rebounding team in the East. They're one of the best in the NBA, and they lost the rebounding battle to the Atlanta Hawks 51-45. And to make things worse, Clint Capella had 19 boards. Brooke Lopez had 2 rebounds. I mean,
he ate his lunch.
What are you doing out there, Brooke? If you're not scoring the rock, you're not punishing them inside, and you're not rebounding the ball. John Collins had 15 rebounds. Giannis only had 12. It's like these guys are both smaller than the Bucks' big man, but they were outworking the Bucks all game. Mm-hmm. And even Trae Young had 7 rebounds, and he's as small as it gets. But I think the one thing that just irks me, outside of just Middleton just dropping a complete egg and still taking 23 shots, I mean, you got to know when it's not your night. As well as Coach Bud, you know, don't scheme up the final play for the guy who's 0 for 8 from 3. I mean, there's some,
I mean, what's
just
new
stupid.
There, though? Yeah, what's new like, there with Coach Bud?
You know, you gotta be kidding me.
No one knows what he's thinking.
No. What is this guy thinking? And did you see the pick and roll defense? It was atrocious every single time Drew was on an island. And what does that do for the screen setter? He can just turn around and set a screen the other direction.
I mean, it's dominate 101.
If Drew happens to go above the screen and stick with Trae Young after the first screen, he just turns around and sets another screen. And Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, they're sitting in the paint, and Trae Young comes around one of those screens. One, he's much quicker than Holiday, as put on display by his 48-point performance. And two, he can hit the jumper. I mean, he's wide open for a floater, for a shot. They have to blitz him. They have to make it difficult for not only Trae Young, but also the screener. Make someone else beat you, please. Kevin Huerter, Bogdanovich, John Collins, Clint Capella, Gallinari. Make any of one of these guys beat you. Not Trae Young. I mean, the last thing I wanted to see was the Bucks give up 40-plus points, let alone almost 50 spot to Trae Young, who also had 11 assists, so they didn't stop his passing either. He had his way with the Bucks. He had his way with Drew Holiday. He had his way with the whole team. But I would say this. It was very reminiscent of the Allen Iverson Game 1 shocking win in the finals over the Lakers. Balled out, had a monstrous game, including some crazy highlights like Trae Young going off the backboard. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen the rest of the series, and so I hope the Bucks took the wake-up call and then go on to win 4 straight, because I believe they're capable. They're the superior team, and it's not even close.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting is if you break down the scoring, I've said on previous podcasts, if the Bucks big three can get 90 and their supporting cast can get 30, and then they can, so that adds up to 120, and then their collective team holds the opponent underneath 120, every single game, if you kind of strive for that, like let guys know what's expected of them, that'll get the job done. And if you look at the supporting cast last night, they actually had 31 points. And if you look at the three stars, you know, the big three, they came up short. They had, I believe, 82 points, if my math is correct here. And it's just like, to me, the simple breakdown is, well, yeah, the Bucks could have played better in many ways, but it's like Chris Middleton is going to get back up to his average. I mean, 15 points on a god-awful night like that, I don't even know how he put up that, you know? And so it's like he's going to get higher. Will Drew Holiday stay up on that level that he showed last night from an offensive perspective? We hope so. I don't know if you can expect that. But really, you know, the Bucks lost by 3. If Chris shows up, they win. You know, if Pat plays a little better, they win. Maybe a little less Jeff Teague, they win. Maybe a little less atrocious defense, they win. But here's the thing. It kind of goes back to it. It's like the Trae Young in college, well, Giannis is an all-star starter, and now Trae Young is balling on Giannis. Like, it's not supposed to happen that way. You know, it's
balling
it's
on
like,
Drew. Balling on Middleton.
Or on Drew. Or on Middleton. And it's like the Bucks are almost along for the ride, and we've said this before when it comes to the franchise, they've been along for the ride when maybe they should be more focused on like doing their job, you know? So it's like you can't really chalk up an adequate excuse for losing to the Hawks game one when you look at the sheer talent and the sheer circumstances, other than the fact that the Bucks didn't come out focused and just didn't do the little things to do their job, like whether it's helping on
close it.
I mean, exactly. You know, and it's like Coach Bud.
7 points with 4 minutes remaining.
Do you know what the coach's job is? It's to get your players ready to play. And the Bucks came out looking really good, but we never really built that lead. It was almost like the Nets game. I think that was game 5 or something, where we built that lead, but we just couldn't put them away. We couldn't really establish that distance. And then you just let them hang around and let them get confidence. Like, I mean, the Atlanta Hawks, do you think they came in here thinking they were going to get that win? Maybe they did. But they've heard it just like everybody else. Sweep. Bucks in foe. Bucks in four, Ernie.
Hey, that's why you don't take Bucks in a sweep.
And exactly. It's like unfortunately, you know that this Bucks team just doesn't have it in them. Like the Popovich Spurs, like the
LeBron Cavs, you know,
Golden State Warriors, whatever, to just go out there and actually sweep an inferior team. You know, it's like Miami Heat, that I can see that there's a little bit of a revenge thing going on there, and that's why they may have swept them. But like, honestly, like Miami Heat, Atlanta Hawks, what is the difference? You know, like maybe Trae Young's the centerpiece, but like,
I mean,
for the Bucks to just get this close, for us to just go through the story of Giannis, which shout out to everybody who listened to Ugo, Giannis, the story of Ugo, incredible piece. Thanks for tuning into that, by the way. For everyone who just kind of went through his story arc to get to this exact moment, game one versus the Atlanta Hawks in an Eastern Conference Finals that is way more manageable than the Kawhi-led Toronto Raptors and Kyle Lowry, you know, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka. If you look, Fred Van Fleet, if you look back on that Raptors team, straight up stacked. You know, it's like the Hawks have a bunch of really good B-list players, but the Bucks, leave it to the Bucks to let them play like A-listers. Like Bogdanovich had 4 points, but they're letting John Collins go off for 23. They're letting Kevin Huerter go off for 9. Or sorry,
Capella
13.
Just absolutely dominating the big.
Capella's always been a solid player, but the thing here that it comes back to is like letting Trae Young go up for 48. The guy who was literally in, that's like me being in high school or college and some guy in middle school comes and lights us up. You know, it's like you're supposed to be the best player in the world, Giannis. Like
it's
Chris,
like letting your
Drew.
Little brother beat you.
No, see, that's different. That's different because we all know, like, brotherly rivalries are different, in my opinion. But, like, I mean, what more can you say? You literally had the dude who was in college when you're starting in the All-Star game come into your own home and show you up. Like, what is the equivalent? That's like almost like someone comes into the bar and snags your girl, you know, like right in front of your own eyes. Like maybe not that drastic, but it's like,
what? You saw it coming. I know,
like,
what
the Bucks just have to do better. They have to do better. There's no way that anyone should be able to do that. Like Trae Young just waltzed on in. And what is the solution? Well, they got to blitz Trae Young like he's never been blitzed before. You know, it's like in the NFL, the best quarterbacks will make you pay if you blitz them. But those young quarterbacks, the guy that was in high school, was in college when Giannis was in the All-Star starting game. You know, it's funny enough because Trae Young was actually in high school, if you take it back the previous year, when Giannis had his first All-Star nod. So it's like, did they really overlook this guy so much because they just thought they were going to win by default? Like, you know, I mean, these guys got to splash some cold water on their face and say, guys, we're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, this is not a land of cakewalks. And
no.
They just have to do better. They got to blitz Trae Young, you know, maybe go small, get Pat and Drew up there working, force him to make those crazy passes. Like a seasoned vet like Tom Brady, when you blitz him, will be able to beat the blitz. Same with Aaron Rodgers. But a rookie quarterback, a young player like Trae Young, he might make some mistakes, and then you get out in a fast break, you run. Alex, what are your thoughts on all that?
I love the comparison. I think you have to get the guy defending the screener up on Trae Young because, one, you can either double-team Young and force the ball out of his hands, or, two, you can prevent the screener, because this is something that Shaq used to do. You bump the screener, and you prevent him from setting a second screen. And it's just, I think the thing I was just so disappointed with is that, you know, I mean, I've read off that stat. They average 72 ball pick and rolls per 100 possessions with Trae Young's on the court. 3 out of 4
Coach
times.
Coach Bud throws it in the trash.
They're doing the he threw
Sir,
that
here's the scouting report. We won't be needing any of that, Johnny.
I mean, it seems like it because literally Portis and Lopez
I
are
like
saying
coach
it in
my
the
own
paint.
Way.
Yeah. It's like Austin Powers, almost like that moment of complete idiocy where he's like, he gets like
or
a
he's
two
at the blackjack
at the
table.
And
it's like the guy gets like a he gets like an 11 or he gets an ace and like a 10. Says, I'll stay. I know he says he gets like a 19 and then he says, hit me. He gets like the perfect 2 to get up to 21. And then
like, I like to live there.
And then Austin Powers is like, gets like a 2 and a 3. And he's like, you know, he gets presented with an opportunity to see the scouting report, right? He's like, okay, sir, the Hawks run plenty of pick and rolls. Do you maybe want to do something about them? And just like Austin Powers says, you know, like, sir, would you like a hit? He's like, I'll stay. You know,
he's like,
2 out of 3. He gets 5. The other guy gets blackjack, right? And so it's like Coach Bud is almost being presented with the scouting report. I mean,
and throwing it in the
bin. It's the Hawks. Not lose to the Hawks under any circumstances. Do not put Ike Bucks in that situation.
Don't put
the fans through that. It's like Bucks fans, I think the theme is they simply got to take care of business. You know, it's just like
you can't choke against a team like Phoenix.
It's like say this is like way back in the day where there was hunters and gatherers and they send like the leader or the man of the tribe or whatever it may be out into the wilderness to literally go and find food, to go and provide for the family, literally like to eat, you know, back before you could just go to a McDonald's or go to a grocery store. You know, this guy had to go and like use some tools, probably like some bows and arrows and sticks he sharpened, and then find a moving animal, which anyone who's gone in the woods and just tried to, you know, take a bow and arrow and get an animal.
Find an animal.
It's not as easy as it, you know, you may think. And then to take that animal and actually get it, you know, and then to bring it back and cook it over a fire for his family to eat that day. That's called taking care of business. You know, when the kids and the wife and the partners or whatever, they let the father or the man of the tribe or maybe, you know, in the concept of Vikings, oftentimes women would do this as well, the shield maidens, but like go and they give them that task. Well, you can't just have the guy come back and say like, oh, no food today, everybody. That's devastating.
That's brutal. Yeah, that's, you know, devastating, like, and it's like, for the whole tribe.
You're not going to be like, okay, I want you to knock your bowl like this, and I want you to go and sit in this exact stand and blah, blah, blah. Like, you might be able to offer some guidelines to help that hunter to get the you know, the food. But at the end of the day, he's got to just get the job done. Like well, the mom or whatever is like picking the berries and taking care of the children. Like, that hunter was needed to just go and get some freaking food no matter what way he could. And, you know, that's how humanity even got here, right? Like, some people had to simply get the job done. And you could apply that to all sorts of, you know, parallels. Like, it's like you almost look at when the United States was trying to fight for their independence. They just got the job done. Like, I don't think anyone was like, oh, well, you know, the British, here's like
the British. The British like this type of strategy, but maybe in that term, you know, throughout the war strategy. They didn't say that, you know? Well, like, you not have a plan for the pick and roll?
We didn't get this far. Like, you didn't establish this entire country to just give it back to the British, right? It's like, you know, you didn't come to the Eastern Conference Finals to only come to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, you're like, we don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to get the job done. Well, the good news is, in the age of information, there are scouting reports. There are tendencies. And I just want to go back to this. Trae Young was in high school when Giannis was in the All-Star game. So it's like, please, boys, just get the job done. You know, it comes back to getting the job done.
I don't think anyone takes a look at these two rosters. Even when you watch the game, it's pretty visible that the Bucks have their way, and it was like boneheaded play after boneheaded defensive decision, as well as multiple times just getting out-hustled. Like, there's no circumstance in which Clint Capella should be getting offensive boards on Giannis and Lopez and Tucker, PJ Tucker, multiple plays and then dunking it in these guys' face in the late stages of the game. He's flexing in Milwaukee. Did you see that? Clint Capella throwing up the gun and flexing in Milwaukee. I mean, wouldn't that piss you off? Like,
I mean, it pissed me off if I worked that hard to get here and then just dropped game one like that. You know,
Trae Young's like, flexing in Milwaukee. It's like, of all the guys to let flex on you.
Clint Capella literally came from Switzerland, right? So it's like, he hasn't had an easy road to get here. And he, you know, I don't even know if he's ever played in the Eastern Conference Finals because he's been with Houston. I don't think he has. I think this is the furthest he's ever been. He's like, look, I'm in the final four teams. I got a shot to win a championship here. I'm going to bring glory to my homeland, you know, glory to my my family.
He's
and like
thinking
all
the
this,
same. Yeah.
Just like Achilles. He's like, he's thinking that the same Achilles mindset. And it's like the Bucks, unfortunately, they've always done something to kind of keep that label around. Like, oh, same old Bucks. And it's like Milwaukee, man. The guy was in high school when Giannis was in the All-Star game. Like, we've got the experience on him. We've got the experience. Coach Bud, please don't let your former team do this to us. Please don't let the Atlanta Hawks, who parted ways with you, beat the Bucks in a series that we should not let them beat us in. So it's like, I mean, I'm going to give the Bucks some slack. I'm going to give the Bucks some trust, just like we said after that Kevin Durant and that series.
They've earned our trust a little bit. But
I'm going to give him one more game of trust before I start really going crazy, because they needed to win that game last night. But guess what now? They need to win game two. They need to get the job done.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you lose game two now, you can't. All of a sudden, you're going back to Atlanta down 0-2, and Atlanta's a good road team. I talked about this in the preview pod. Atlanta knocked off Philly 3 or 4 times on the road, and they won. They beat the Knicks in game one. And I'm pretty sure they won another game in the road against the Knicks. And it's just like, I'm looking at Chris right now, and he's just the prime example of going out there looking for food and coming back with nothing. Because you just can't put up a game going 6 for 23. You just can't. Like, maybe it's one thing if you swap Chris Middleton and Trae Young, where he's the only offensive option. But on a game where Drew Holiday is 14 of 25, and when Giannis is a 14 of 25, you as the player and the coach, totally on Coach Bud as well, you have to recognize if you don't have it. He was coming up short on his jumpers. His legs were probably tired. That's my take on Chris. And he still was just shooting, you know. It's like those are wasted possessions, because the Bucks, I mean, they didn't have a lot of offensive rebounds. Shot to Bobby Portis for getting 3 off the bench, but you know, it wasn't. Lopez had only had 1 offensive board. Middleton had 0. Holiday had 0. Giannis had 4, probably on some of his own misses. Mm-hmm. And PJ Tucker had 3. But I just have to just come back. Like, those guys themselves have to just be like disappointed in themselves that they couldn't get that victory. Everything was going, all the momentum, and it was lined up there very easy at the end. They were up 105-98 with 4 minutes on the clock, Bucks fans. How many of you could coach a victory? Yeah, how many of you could coach the Bucks to a victory at this point? Probably a lot. And then it's also, I don't want to get too picky, but you know, Pat Connaughton late in the game, you can't be chucking up an air ball if you're taking the last shot. Like, you got to at least hit rim. And that's another place of just coming up short. And the Bucks kind of did that on multiple areas.
I mean, it's just like the city yesterday, Milwaukee, and I imagine the state as well. And really all around the world, we see you guys tuning in. The city of Milwaukee yesterday was painted green. Like, everywhere you went, didn't matter if you were downtown by the suits. It didn't matter if you were, you know, on the sidewalks, up a little bit out of the city, everybody had their Bucks gear on. And a lot of people went to the Deer District. They even opened up a new area with a new screen. But it's just like you said, they had all the momentum. You know, people were believing in this team. And I think a lot of people still do believe in this team, but it's just like,
pop a
man,
balloon.
Like, don't air do
out
this
of the balloon.
Dude.
You know,
yeah.
This classic Bucks. Like, every time you think you know what's going to happen, it's like, expect the opposite. Expect some adversity as a fan of being
a Bucks
fan. Yeah,
maybe that's what we should start doing as fans, is just kind of expecting that. You hate to say it, because it's really razor-thin margin for error, if not, there's zero margin for error when you get this deep, but it's like, I'm going to chalk it up to the Bucks that is as an aberration, you know. But here's the disappointing thing as well. Rebounding. The Bucks led the NBA playoffs in rebounding. I believe the Hawks were way, way, way down in that list. But it's like, that's something where
every Bucks starter is taller than their starter.
Well, it's like, that's something where Nate McMillan, as a coach of the Atlanta Hawks, could see. He's like, okay, because I was looking through the stats here. I was like, major mismatch, rebounding. You know, I was like, that's like one of the Bucks' biggest strengths. Whereas the Hawks have a big strength in terms of free throw shooting. They were 70.
They don't miss. They were
87.5%.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the Bucks were 78%, which is not bad. But, like, obviously the Hawks, if you look at the stats, like, they're way better than us in free throw shooting. We're way better than them in rebounding. And you see that stat. It's such a glaring weakness that, like, you know, Coach Bud could be, like, on the free throw thing, he could be like, well, we're practicing some free throw drills. You know, maybe he's too proud to do that. But it's like, they got to get better with the free throws. Luckily, they had a good game last night. But back to the rebounding, it was such a glaring weakness where Nate McMillan would probably circle that and write it on the top of his list and say, this is what we're going to address in these couple practices in the game plan. But guess what? A good coach had his team executing and out-rebounding the Bucks in their number one thing. It's like, what in the world, Coach Bud? Oh,
Bucks
fans,
the Bucks,
it's like,
This is what it was.
We were talking about last pod about the results, right? Like, I may not agree with his methods, sir, but he gets results. Like, he got the Bucks past the Nets, but then there's just stuff like this that goes and happens, and you're just like, Coach Bud, please, man. Please.
Here's kind of a parallel for you, Bucks fans. You know in movies, superhero movies, they say, like, playing into the villain's hands? Well, that's what the Bucks did. They played Atlanta's game last night. Atlanta, as you mentioned, Cage, is one of the best free-throw shooting teams. And what does that mean? That means when it gets close in the late games, they pull out victories. Under Nate McMillan, they are 13-2 in games decided by 5 or less points. So if you make it close, Atlanta is going to win because they are simply better free throw shooters, and that's kind of
better
what plays.
Better coach, man.
Better coach too. That, you know, that's another sign. You know, late game coaching is very huge in the late stages, and Coach Bud dropped that ball. But going back to the point, is the Bucks were playing Atlanta basketball. How many lobs did you see from the Bucks last night? They were throwing lobs. They were doing. It was like we were watching the Bucks play Atlanta style.
Just like we played Brooklyn style last series. That's what I'm saying about the Bucks, like, not really knowing what to do when they get this far. Like, where's the captain of the ship saying, all right, boys, you know, the fire's going to come in from the right. You know, this is what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to assume these battle positions, whatever. And when this happens, you know, our plan is this, this, and this. The Bucks are just like, oh. You know, we still got cameras on us. Like,
this is fun throwing lobs.
This is kind of fun. You know, the city's happy about this again. You know, like, we got through. Everyone's showering us in love. And oh, shit, the game started. Like,
oh, shit, the game's over.
Oh, shit, we lost game one. All right, Bucks fans, so we asked you guys, unleash the takes. You know, it's one of our favorite parts about live tweeting is just seeing people unleash the takes. Ike Bucks is a safe space where you can really just say whatever you want. And we're going to read off some of those. So Al, let's not get too deep into these ones so we can cover more of them.
Okay.
But really, let's just kind of try and cover some of these.
So names,
Tyler
yeah.
Nugent. Tyler Nugent said, I think we needed to come back down to earth. This will light a fire under the Bucks, and they'll be better off for it. It took the best game out of Trey's career in a total flop from Middleton for them to win by 3. I'm not worried yet. They just need to come out flying on Friday. Honestly, Tyler, you're speaking with a lot of sense. Appreciate that. Bucks in 7, Trey Day 608 says, Pat needs to not shoot threes, rebound, and play defense. Need to fix the pick-and-roll defense. Lopez needs to play better defense because we need him for rebounding. Rebounding a whole other issue. Chris Middleton, where are you? Kind of just touching on some of the points that we just mentioned. Kirk Eastenson says, terrible defensive game plan costs him again. Take the ball out of their best player's hands. It's not that difficult. Only the Bucks can force 5 missed shots and not get one offensive rebound in the last 3 minutes of the game when it matters. Yikes, Kirk,
Kenny.
That's
Kenny.
Go for it.
Out-coached and out-hustled in the final 2 minutes. President EJM said it's no over-exaggeration to say Bud is the worst coach in the league. Jared.
I wish I could dispute him.
Yeah. I mean, some people, Rogert said, yikes, if we let Trey become KD, it's over.
Jaden Stump said, not worried, lost by 3 points, and Trae Young had the greatest game of his life. Assuming he doesn't drop 50 a night every game in the series, I think we'll be fine. That's optimism.
Josh Rockley Decker, thoroughly outcoached. Arian Arminiako said, Bucks will always struggle to be great with Middleton as second best player. That's a hot take.
You know, that's a whole other argument.
Deja Vu said, atrocious pick and roll D. Bobby said, sleptwalk, especially Coach Bud. What was he saving his challenges for?
I mean, Hugo Catan says, no sense of urgency out there. I still believe we're making it out, but Middleton and Bench need to step up. Coach Bud, again, disappoints. Straight up. You know, Hugo's preaching some truth right there.
Mm-hmm.
Salvador De Leon just has a pic of this buck kind of looking out at the water over the railing. And it's really a sight to behold because I think that's what a lot of Bucks fans think when the Bucks, you know, go back and forth like this. It's just like, what am I supposed to do? You know, what am I supposed to think here as this Bucks, this Bucks fan?
Well, we made the analogy of, Captain Phillips, where, you know, you're only as good as your captain who's commanding the ship. And Coach Bud is almost that guy where you're like, hey, coach, What are we doing?
You know, Coach, like, we're surrounded on all sides by destroyers. Shouldn't we, like, get ready?
Shouldn't we defend the pick and roll? You know, it's just, and a lot of people have commented that. Here's another one. Porter should have played more than Connaughton. 11 and 8 in 15 minutes for Porter. Bench Lopez. He clearly can't guard the pick and roll. I mean, he got exposed again, but the coach isn't doing him much help.
Josh Rockley Decker says, thoroughly out-coached. Honestly, he's not wrong. Like, Nate McMillan is putting on a clinic in game one.
Put on a clinic this playoffs.
It's just like a theme for the Bucks. Like, I mean, and when I say the Bucks, like, they can't, the players aren't exactly like the, you know, the decision makers and the coach in real time. Like, maybe they'd have input in the off season, but like, Coach Bud, it's like these trends, these disturbing themes, these disturbing trends just all stem from him. And like, this isn't the first time they've shown up. You know, they showed up 2 years ago. They showed up last year, and they've shown up this year. They've shown up in the playoffs.
Showing up
it's
again.
Like, it's like, are they winning because of Bud, or are they winning despite him? And honestly,
that's a good one. Good
it looks
question.
Like they're winning despite Coach Bud. And it's like, man, I can only pray we make it out of the Eastern Conference. Because if the Bucks, for some reason, do not beat the Hawks in this series, close your eyes and just picture what's going to happen. You know, like, it's not pretty. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's a good time, KJ, to move on to good Bucks, bad Bucks.
All right. Well, my good Bucks, I'm just going to say Drew Holiday. You know, minus the time when Trae Young totally crossed him over like AI. Drew Holiday had a great game. You know, 5 for 12 from 3, 33 points, 10 assists. If he does that more often, the Bucks can win a championship.
My good Bucks, Bobby Portis. 11 points, 8 rebounds in 15 minutes after not getting to play for a while. I mean, that's coming in an instant impact. So good to see Bobby come back with some electricity. Now let's flip, though. Let's flip to the bad Bucks, the part that, you know, people have been waiting for, where we pick out one more specific thing about what the Bucks did wrong, maybe, or a player. Cage, you want to go ahead and start with yours?
Well, Al, for the life of me, I don't understand how, you know, call it Coach Bud, call it Jeff Teague. I don't understand how that happened. You know, getting Jeff Teague on the court for 6 minutes, like in a 3-point game, 116 to 113, the Bucks dropped this game. In a 3-point game, it's the Eastern Conference Finals. And like, I mean, I hate that we have to keep coming back to this Coach Bud stuff, but it's like, man, 6 minutes of playing a guy who should not be out there is all the difference it takes to lose a game by three. And it's like,
yeah,
you look at these, I'm going to call it what it is, boneheaded decision-making by the coach. Ugh. I mean, like, Bucks fans, that should not be overlooked. In a 3-point loss, Coach Bud played Jeff Teague 6 minutes, in which he had 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 for 1 from the floor. He had 1 assist, but it's like he was pretty much going Tony Snell out there without the defense. And it's like,
it doesn't make any sense, you know, on other fronts to play Pat almost 30 minutes and Bryn Forbes only 12 when Bryn's got more points than Pat and a higher plus minus. I mean, is this guy really an analytics guy?
Coach Bud is a nobody knows guy.
He is. It's like, well,
Well,
outside of the fact that every time they show Coach Bud in the huddle, he's just spitting utter nonsense. my bad Bucks is the fact that they cannot defend with this size lineup, with this lengthy Bucks size, you know, size lineup. It was again apparent that the Bucks should be playing smaller. Charles Barkley said it after the game. It's like, how can you watch this and not realize that we're getting outpaced? Clint Capella is flying up the court, and Brook Lopez can't keep up with him. Capella was running to the block, into the basket, faster than Giannis was. And it's like, you're just going to let Lopez sit in there all game with someone who's clearly faster than him, and he can't defend the pick and roll right now? Like, that's not really
Coach
on Lopez.
What is
it? It's really not, you know? It's almost like putting in a... you know, a cornerback who's got like 4.6 speed, 4.7 speed, and expecting him to guard Devontae Adams. Or
it's like every year when the Packers fans get upset that we unfortunately have maybe a second or third stringer, probably like a third or fourth stringer, covering one of the elite team's weapons. And that's why, you know, honestly, to cross over the conversation for a second, it's like they made a great pick because it just adds depth to their position to solve these problems. But it's like Alex said, you know, like certain things just can't happen. You know, maybe you got to go faster. Maybe that means more Portis, less Brook. Maybe that means more PJ, less Brook. You know, maybe it means less Jeff Teague in general. Yeah, and it's just like,
maybe it also
Coach
means
Bud, Bucks fans,
who's on and who's off in the game.
It's like, I know Middleton didn't have his best game, but think about it. Middleton hit the game winner versus Miami. He put the team on his back versus Brooklyn. Chris Middleton is not the problem here. Coach Bud, like, the Bucks are going to go as far as he can take us. And it's like, hopefully, just hopefully, the talent of the Milwaukee Bucks franchise can overcome the deficiencies from the head coaching position.
Yeah. And we'll see. We'll see headed into game two what adjustments he makes, because it just seems like there's so few all the time. It seems like the Bucks are still playing the same way. They're playing hero ball. They're playing, you know, everyone stand, let one guy do his own thing.
Yeah. Good to be here.
That's what it feels like. You know, guys are hanging out in the corners at the 3-point line. You could stick one of us out there.
Oh, man.
There's no movement. And there was one possession, though, where the Bucks were slinging it across the court beautifully, and it ended with the Lopez dunk early in the game. I mean, that was some good Bucks.
Well, do you remember that one play when Drew Holiday, like, heaved the ball from one three-point corner to the other?
That was the play.
Everyone I was watching with was just like, what is he thinking?
Yeah, it's like the worst pass in basketball.
Doing too much. Yeah. It ended up working out, but...
But still, like, the offense of ball movement is so rare that when it, like, is slightly good for the Bucks, people are oohing and on at the passing. But really, the ball movement isn't consistently there, and... like you said, KJ, let's throw out that poll after this pod. Are the Bucks winning because of Coach Bud or despite? Because that would be interesting to see what people think of that. It's almost as if so many other coaches would coach it so differently. And I understand that Coach Bud was the guy who took it from what Jason Kidd had the Bucks at to where the Bucks are now. He made that leap. But playoffs really shines the spotlight, and there's just nowhere for this guy to hide at this point.
No. And I just want to say that's a great time to just, I think, wrap things up in the sense of thanking our listeners.
Yeah.
I just want to say,
and girls,
I just want to say, shout to Sao Tome and Principe. It's an island off the coast of Africa, off the west coast of Africa. We're getting our first listeners from there. Just shout to everyone around the world who's kind of spreading that Bucks love. You know, thank you guys and thank you girls so much for just telling people about this podcast. We've had some fantastic positions in the charts recently. And if you like what you hear, if you wouldn't mind helping us out, just tell someone else. You know, like whether that's maybe sending it in a DM to someone on social media, whether that's maybe taking a screenshot and putting it on your story, whether it's just a basketball fan you happen to talk to or someone, you know,
water cooler
you might be
talk.
Working with or whatever. It's like, hey, you know, like Bucks podcast, you like basketball, you follow in the playoffs. Oh, you haven't? Well, this might help you catch up. This might help get you into it. If you are, you know, you might like this. They kind of talk about the games and just really the players and kind of everything. So that's the best way to help us grow is just telling someone. And we'd really appreciate that if you guys could keep spreading the love like that. So shout to Sao Tome and Principe. Shout to Antigua and Barbuda. Shout to Somalia, Italy, Indonesia, Kingdom of Jordan, Japan, Uganda, Chile, Thailand, Bulgaria, Gambia, Hungary, Jordan, Russia, Kenya, South Korea, Turkey, Morocco, Portugal, Puerto Rico, Cyprus, Finland, France, United Arab Emirates climbing up the charts, Serbia, Malaysia, India, Netherlands, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Ghana, Switzerland, Taiwan, Saudi Arabia, Denmark, Israel, Nigeria, South Africa. Starting to see some more people tuning in from Africa. That's unbelievable. Thanks, everyone. Argentina, Brazil, Germany, Spain, Sweden, the Philippines. Always got to shout the Philippines for showing that NBA love. St. Lucia, Island listeners, we love it. Ireland, Greece, Norway, Mexico, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, and of course, the United States of America in Wisconsin and all throughout the country. Thank you for listening, really sincerely. And
I've got one more special thank you.
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you to all the women and female listening to the podcast. We've seen that number rise tremendously. So, and that's so cool that you're all following the Bucks and getting more into that. And so, you know, encourage to spread it with more of your female friends as well. This is a place for everyone. And as KG said, all of our giveaways, everything has always been open to everyone all the way around the world. So we're happy to improve and build this community and continue to keep building it. So special shout out to the ladies.
Pure Bucks, real talk. And yeah, I just want to say, like, we're gonna keep the new giveaway to the podcast for one more episode, giving you guys all listening right now a head start on the masses. We're giving away this beautifully framed Giannis signed photo. It's pretty big, you know. It would make a great addition to anybody's wall in your bedroom, in your office, in your Bucks living room, watching situation, man cave, you know, you just have like a den. Yeah, it could be a great present for someone. And it's signed by Giannis. We have the certificates of authenticity in the frame. The picture is just so cool. It's a picture of Giannis in action. And the frame is just beautifully done. Like, the framing was very intricate. And so we're giving that away. So that's the best thing you guys can do is, how do you enter to win that? Is just send Ike Bucks a DM. Send Ike Bucks a DM on Twitter. That's how you get involved. I want to encourage everyone to check us out on Instagram. It's at Welcome to Ike. Welcome, T-O-I-K-E. So yeah, you know, if you're interested in some more content, we got some great stuff going on. Every week we interview new Badgers football players. That season's right around the corner. We just do a lot of really cool stuff, blending music, culture, sports, and all that stuff from a global perspective. We'll also... you know, never forgetting where we come from, the great place that's called the United States of America. So, Al, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Final thoughts? Expect the Bucks to have woken up. I hope so. And thank you again for listening, listeners. It's always a great time. And we're in for another series. So we're going to be with you every step of the way. We got much love and much respect from our end. And go Bucks. Keep on repping it with pride. Thanks for having
go
me.
Go Bucks. Kay. Thanks again, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Fear the deer.
Listening to Ike Music. Thank you.
saw you in my dreams before I came here. I will keep you in my dreams when I leave here. I won't forget you, no, no. I won't forget you. You're like one of a kind, and my eyes light up when I think about you. I won't forget you. Life goes on and on and on.
I saw you in my dreams before I came here. I will keep you in my dreams when I leave here. I won't forget you, no, no. I won't forget you. You're like one of a kind, and my eyes light up when I think about you. I won't forget you. Life goes on and on and on.